Hey everybody, welcome to Unscripted Unlimited, our second show here on the Everything Unscripted Network. I am your host, Dan Hummer. I'm here with my gracious brother, Dougie.
You.
How we doing tonight, bud?
Pretty good.
Well, we should be coming to you on Saturday. This is a pre-record, but we had to get something out for the Unscripted Unlimited Nation. So we're doing this. We're doing Son of Batman tonight. The next slate, next movie in our the little thing we're doing here, we're going through all the DC animated movies in that timeline that they kind of created for about 20 movies there. We started it out with Justice League War about a month ago. And
something like that, yeah.
And now we're doing Son of Batman, the second one. This is mainly focused on Batman, not like the other leaguers. It's Batman and his son, Damian. And you got some other side characters like Nightwing in there. But overall, what was your initial thoughts on this movie coming into this stuff?
Well, before we watched it? Or
Just like what were you thinking when you walked into this movie?
I had seen like Damian Wayne from like the Injustice video game.
Yeah.
You know, and other stuff, you know, the Harley Quinn show where he comes off as a little, I mean, yeah, he's a little bastard, but he comes off as a little fucking prick. And then like, you know, but he's also raised by assassins. So like my expectations going into this were, I was expecting to hate the kid.
Yeah.
It turns out I really didn't hate him because, like, he made the right choice in the end.
Yeah, and it happened the same thing in kind of comics, too, when they introduced Damian. He really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way because he's a little bastard and his attitude and everything. But it does kind of make the character, too, because he is trained by the League of Assassins and Ra's al Ghul and one of the biggest Batman villains, and they're all killers. So it makes sense why he would act the way he acts. And that's why in comics, it actually is really cool because Batman dies. They don't do it in this timeline because they need Batman to sell the movies. But it's around the time Batman died when he came in, and Dick actually took over as Batman, and Damian was his Robin.
Right.
And it was actually really cool because – and me and Kenny were talking about it in the Batman episode, but it was the first time because you usually have a serious Batman and Robin's joking around and having fun. But this time you had kind of a fun-loving Batman and a serious get-down-to-business Robin. So I like that dynamic. I also like the dynamic between Bruce and his son in this movie.
Right.
And I think they're funny. That initial scene when Ra's, whatever you call him, he gets attacked by Deathstroke. He kills Ra's, you know, burns him to the ground basically with that bomb.
Yeah.
And he basically fucks up the whole League of Assassins, and he, you know, he almost takes out Damian and his mother, but it doesn't quite happen. What was your thoughts on that as an opener?
I loved it, like, when Damian got him in the eye.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, the kid's not going to go down really easy. I mean, I actually thought that both Ra's and Talia were going to die, like, right at that moment.
Really?
Yeah. I was just like, oh, God, the kid's going to be an orphan. But then, like, you know, you thought, okay, he's going to make it towards the Lazarus Pit, which makes so much sense now from – we were talking about it from Batman the Animated Series. Because I think the one episode I saw of Ra's al Ghul,
yeah,
was him falling into the Lazarus Pit. But they didn't know it was the Lazarus Pit at the time.
Yeah.
They thought it was, you know
– like acid or something.
Acid, yeah. And they thought he was going to die. But he came out and he wanted to kill Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lazarus Pit's a big thing in the DC universe. It's brought a lot of people. If you watch the new episode of Titans or the new season, that's kind of how they brought Jason Todd back and did the whole Red Hood deal. And the Lazarus Pit, you know, it does bring people back to life, and it's a big deal. So,
isn't that how they brought Dick back, too?
No. Yeah, that's how they did. Yeah, in the show. Yeah, they did bring Dick back with the Lazarus Pit, yeah. So that was really cool. The Lazarus Pit's a fun thing in the DC universe. But the thing I like about these movies, and it's fun going into it with you because a lot of the things that they kind of give you are stuff that only like comic fans have seen. Like a lot, I mean, they explored Talia and Bruce's relationship in The Dark Knight Rises a little bit, but not much. And people that are fans of the comics, they know that besides Catwoman, the only other love in his life really is Talia al Ghul. They've had a lot of, it's like seeing like Wonder Woman and Superman when you saw that for the first time. Like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
I've seen it before, but it was like, holy shit for you. Cause you don't know that. So what do you have any prior knowledge, Talia al Ghul at all going into this?
Not really.
You just knew Ra's had a daughter pretty much.
Yeah. Just from like what I read or heard or some.
But yeah, her and Bruce actually have a pretty deep history, and they've hooked up a few times, and that's one of the only women that he's ever really gotten with.
Yeah.
So they have a cool history, and I think that it was cool that they brought Damian in like that, and her dropping him off to Bruce and him like, what the fuck, I have a kid?
Yeah. Well, because she saved him from that one lizard.
Yeah, Killer Croc.
Yeah.
Yeah, Killer Croc looked fucking vicious in this thing too, by the way.
Yeah. And then, but yeah, when she saved him, and then she, because I thought they were both going to hang out, you know, there and hide out and all that shit. I didn't know she was going to try to go after Deathstroke right away.
Yeah. But she did. I mean, she's a ruthless little woman, too. She don't fuck around. Actually, even, like, the way she treats Damian, you can kind of see the way Damian is, because she's like, come, Damian. Like, let's go. We don't have time to worry about your grandfather's death. Get the fuck over it. We got shit to do.
Yeah.
Like, she's very, like, ruthless and to the point with him.
Right, exactly. And it was just, like, you know, you talk about dynamics, you know, the dynamic with Bruce and Damian and Bruce and Talia. How about Alfred Noel?
I think Alfred low-key kind of made this movie.
Yeah.
His witty dialogue is hilarious.
Which, by the way, the voice actors in this deal, and it's nice to know, like, some of the voice actors.
Yeah.
Like, when they did War, like, obviously, I recognized the person who did Silas Stone, you know, Cyborg's father, who's Rocky Carroll from NCIS. Director Vance, and Shamar Moore, who was Derek Morgan on Criminal Minds.
Yes.
He played Cyborg.
One of the handsomest men I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. Now, on here, in this movie, you have, he is actually very good looking. but in this movie, you also have a representation of NCIS and a representation of Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
David McCallum, who played Ducky on NCIS for so many seasons, he plays the role of Alfred, or he voiced Alfred. And Thomas Gibson, who was Hotchner on Criminal Minds, played, you know, voiced Deathstroke.
Yeah.
So.
And you could tell off the bat.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I had a little bit of trouble with Thomas Gibson.
Okay.
I thought it was like, because I kind of recognize the voice, because it sounds like the voice that always does the narrations for the UFC fights.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's not, because it's Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Who's Hellboy. So it's just like, all right, it ain't him. And then Sharon looked it up and it's like, oh yeah, it's Thomas Gibson. I mean, you could tell it's Ducky right away.
Yeah.
But that's also because I'm an avid fan of NCIS.
And it's kind of cool because they stay like that. The voice actors stay the same through the whole like 20 movies, too. So Ducky will stay Alfred the whole time.
So now we just got to find out who's voicing Aquaman.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can look that up, but I'm not sure who voices Aquaman. But that's actually the next movie in the series, Throne of Atlantis.
Well, we'll find out.
Which is basically an Aquaman movie, even though it's, you know, Justice League. But, I like this movie a lot. There was a couple scenes. I mean, I think, obviously, I'm a big Nightwing fan. But I think them bringing in Dick Grayson for a little bit, I think he was a lot of the comic relief, too.
Let's see.
Matt Lanter voiced Aquaman.
Oh, okay.
He's in Pitch Perfect. Disaster movie, a couple things.
Pitch Perfect. That's he was one of the Dust Sound Machine guys.
Yeah, he's good. But, yeah, I thought Nightwing added a lot to the movie, and it was nice kind of having another hero in there, because besides Batman and everything, you don't see too many, like, heroes. This is very much a Batman movie.
Yeah.
So it was nice seeing Dick in there. And you're going to see him more, because Teen Titans have a movie in this timeline.
Right.
And he's the leader in that.
Now, so this is technically, is this the second or third movie in the series?
It's technically the third, because the first one is technically a Flashpoint paradox, and that's based on the Flashpoint storyline, where Barry Allen goes back in time and he ends up fucking the whole timeline, and that's why we get this timeline. I didn't start with that because it's like different voice actors, it's different animation style than all this. It's a good movie, but I thought it was good to start at Justice League War and kind of get this timeline all the way through.
Right.
Maybe we can see the Flashpoint a different time. That's a really good film, but... So it's technically the third one, but it's the second one in this established, like, continuity where we're at.
Gotcha.
With all the heroes.
Yeah.
Like, this is the same Batman we saw in War, pretty much.
Right. No, it's a fun series to kind of, you know, catch up on. And again, it's animated, so it has my attention.
Yeah, I mean, the action's been really good.
Yeah.
Deathstroke, let's just talk about Deathstroke as a villain for a few minutes, because he was like fucking, I mean, we've seen him in other things. He was the villain in season 2 in Titans. He's the villain in Arrow. He shows up in the Snyder Cut a little bit. But what did you think of Deathstroke's performance here, and how much of a mean bastard is he really?
I mean, you could say he's mean, but I don't think he's that ruthless, or else, you know, Dr. Langston's wife and daughter would have been dead.
Yeah.
And not that I'm saying, oh, fuck, that should have happened. But what I'm saying is that, like, you know, Joker would not have hesitated.
Yeah.
Joker would have done it. You know, other villains, I'm sure, would have done it. But, you know, Deathstroke was all about the leverage.
Yeah, he wanted to get Damian there and kill him himself.
Right.
I just don't think he anticipated how badass Damian really is.
Right.
Because, oh my God, this little kid can fight, huh?
Exactly. Now, Dr. Langston's daughter, is she going to be involved, like, anymore? Because it seemed like she kind of had a relationship with
Damian a little bit.
Even though she didn't know...
Yeah.
She really didn't know him, did she?
No. She was just there to give the tip, basically, so he could watch the video. And Deathstroke said he'd spare her family if she... Because that's how kind of how they wrote the family out of it. And they... I don't think we'll see her more. She's not, like, a big character from the comics. I don't even know if she shows up. I think Langston shows up. I don't remember his daughter much. So I don't think we'll see her, or she'll have very much more impact.
Because, like, if you think about it, like, technically Langston was working for... Ra's.
Yeah.
So technically she could have been around Damian more, although she didn't recognize him as Damian. She called him Robin.
Yeah. So she really didn't know what was going on. She had a cool haircut. I mean, she was an interesting character, but
yeah,
I don't know if they'll do anything else with her. I think we got a lot more to get into in other avenue. I will tell you, I will give you a spoiler. We do see Deathstroke again.
Good. I mean, he's not a character that should go away.
No, I don't think he's a one-off villain. I think you can use him in a couple different scenarios.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought you got to say what the best line was from Nightwing and Alfred.
Well, why don't you just go master this?
It was so funny. I mean, I like, and they don't, because obviously he's not Batman in this. He's Nightwing. But I like his relationship with Damian, too, because it's very much like big brother, little brother, like, you're a little asshole.
Yeah.
And, like, when Damian's like, you should remember who the Blood Son is. And it's like, damn. And then Nick's like, bloodthirsty. And it's like, they really have that combative relationship right now.
Right. Because it's funny, like, you know, when they picked up, when Dick was the one that obviously, you know, picked them up in the capsule or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said to you, I'm like, oh, I go, Batman's other son is picking up his father, his stepmother, and his half-brother.
And by the way, that scene of him driving that, like, helicopter thing with Langston in the bottom half shooting that antidote at the man-bats, I think that's one of the best scenes of the
movie.
That was crazy.
just the way Lance is like, take this, you little bastard.
Yeah.
Or however he said, but he's just like, ah!
Yeah, it was fucking sweet.
Yeah.
And that was one of the cooler scenes in the movie. Because this does, and a lot of these animated movies, they have a good amount of action because you can really play around with the budget. So it costs a lot, like in a mainstream movie. So, like, a lot of these fight scenes are really well choreographed and done pretty well.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, and again, I happen to be an expert on cartoons.
Yes.
Or I call myself one. I think that's why, like, a lot of, because you don't even see, like, back in the 90s, and even probably earlier than that, certain, like, movies, and Jim Carrey's movies all did this. Or Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber all did this. They all turned into animated series afterwards to kind of continue, like, the story.
Yeah.
Now, they all sucked. But, except for The Mask kind of had a following.
Yeah, that was a fun cartoon.
But, and I think Ace Ventura actually lasted longer than what people thought. Because they were, anyway. But, like, that's kind of how, like, a lot of movies will continue, is they'll go into cartoon form. So instead of, like, you know, kind of, even though some of these movies, yeah, they develop sequels, you're also going to, okay, you know, how do we continue it further? Okay, we don't necessarily want to make it into a television show, into a sitcom, because it might suck.
Yeah.
So why don't we go into cartoon form? The budget doesn't, the budget really won't matter because it's just animation.
Yeah. I mean, hell, I have an example that just happened. That Aquaman cartoon. I mean, yeah, it's a fun, it's more of a playful thing, but that is technically set after the movie, and it's kind of bridging the gap of him going into the next movie, you know, and learning to become king and stuff.
Which we haven't finished yet.
Yeah, we saw 2 of the 3 episodes, but
yeah.
That's kind of what that is. It continues the story a little bit. It's more playful and not like the movie. It's a little more fun, but it kind of it keeps that going. So then people are like, oh, Aquaman. So then they go see the sequel. It's like, oh, I just watched that cartoon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically the way. I mean, not all movies are going to do it. Like, you're not going to have a movie that's, like, rated R. I mean, you might, like, you know, they'll continue to, like, adult animation.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of movies do this. That's why, like, a lot of, you'll see, like, okay, The Mask, the animated series. You know, Batman, the animated series.
Yeah. It wasn't technically, like, it wasn't, like, continuity-wise outside. It wasn't in the Tim Burton movies, but it kind of kept that aesthetic going.
Right. You know, another one, you know, a lot of the Disney movies do this, because a lot of the Disney movies, you know, they end up afterwards as half-hour cartoons.
Yeah, Lilo and Stitch. And that continued the story, too.
Right.
That wasn't its own thing. That was like Lilo and Stitch after the movie doing this, and that.
Some of them, yes, they'll go and they'll do like, some of them might be prequels. Like, when Little Mermaid was a cartoon, it was before, you know, she met the prince.
Yeah. And some of them, like, on the movies are, like, kind of unrelated in its own thing, like James Bond Jr. and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, like, this thing here, like, again, you talk about the action sequence, kind of bring it back to what we're actually supposed to be talking about. talk about the action sequence. Yeah, because it's much easier to just, you know, all right, you know, you fuck around with the animation.
Yeah, balls to the wall, explosions, fucking man bats everywhere. Like, the CGI, that scene would have cost them to do that in real life, having all the man bats flying at them like that. It would have been enormous. But they can do that here. And I think that's why it's so cool, because, like, the imagination's limitless. You can go anywhere. And especially, and it's cool for here, because you're not talking about a Justice League Unlimited cartoon, which I love that cartoon. That cartoon's amazing. But this is a little more edgy. You know, it's PG-13. It's, like, for an adult audience. It's kind of for, like, us. So you can kind of, like, push those bounds.
I thought you said it was for adults.
Well, kind of adults.
Yeah.
So, but it's edgy, you know? You can have a little fun with it. Go darker.
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck you want. You can put swords through Darkseid's eyes, you know? You can't necessarily do that on a half-hour cartoon, but in these movies, you can.
Right.
So that's why it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And, again, that's why, like, I mean, personally, I personally think that, like, the DC universe should have technically been, should technically just be continued. Or I think they're actually done with this slate of animated movies, right?
Yes.
Well, this is actually how I would have told the story of the DC universe and the Justice League and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's technically what they're going to do, but instead of like the Snyder Cut and all that, and even though the Snyder Cut's great, and you know, Batman coming out this weekend, and
well, those make real. They're going to do both. Yeah. I mean, they can't just say no, we're only going to do animation because they won't make nearly as much money.
Right.
But I do see what you're saying, and that's kind of why, like, the people that are upset with all the DC fans, like, and groups I'm in that are like, oh my god, the movie universe just got butchered. I'm like, go watch the animated movies. Like, if you want a nice, clear timeline and continuity and everything connects and all the heroes know each other and they're all, like, show up in each other's movies, watch the animated movies. Because there's, like, a couple Batman movies in this timeline. Superman will show up and shit. So, like, if you want that connectivity, go watch this shit. It's the same thing.
Yeah. There's some on before HBO Max became a thing. Like, they would air, like, some of the stuff, but it would air, like, late at night. And this is maybe 2014, 15, maybe 16, I don't know. It would air on like one of the HBOs. And it would basically be, it would be a Batman movie. But it would be like, you know, Superman would be in one, would be in it.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman, you know, would be in it. There was one, I think, I don't remember which one it was, but technically, I think it's technically considered a Batman. It's either Batman or it's Justice League. I don't think it's Superman, but it's one where they have to protect Kara.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that is Superman.
Okay, it is?
Right? I think it might be.
Well, the three of them are in it.
I think that's Batman, Superman, Public Enemies. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So it's both of them, yeah.
So all three of them are in it, and one of the other guys might actually be in it, too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Wonder Woman shows up, too.
Well, that's why I said Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. So
yeah,
the three of them are in it with Kara.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
a good one. That's not in this, by the way.
It's not in this?
No, that was before this.
All right. So, but yeah, because, like, in that kind of franchise type thing, Batman and Wonder Woman are kind of flirting with the idea of
each other. That's the classic dichotomy. Like, they get a little weird in this. I'm pretty sure Superman ends up going after Lois in this, too. But they kind of, the New 52, that's what these movies are based off of. And the New 52 was a comics reboot in 2011. And DC basically rebooted all their shit, started telling different stories for the characters, and, like, they started from zero. That's kind of what this is supposed to be. And in that timeline, Superman and Wonder Woman get together. So that's kind of what this is supposed to do. And that's why it's very much like that. But the classic dichotomy, the classic relationship is Superman and Lois Lane, obviously. And it was always that flirt romance of Batman and Wonder Woman. They call it Wonder Bat.
Right.
It never goes anywhere. It never, I mean, in the comics they flirt, but it never went anywhere. In the Justice League Unlimited cartoon they flirt, but it never goes anywhere. That's
right.
Kind of their thing, though. They have a flirt mans.
Right. I mean, and it sucks, though, too, like, because, you know, when they get to Injustice and she kind of sides against him.
Yeah.
Because, and again, and it's one thing we have to talk about in this movie, he is very dead set against killing somebody.
Yes.
Even though they're always trying to fucking fillet his ass.
Yes.
He will not kill. And that's where I was just like, all right, him and Damian, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Because Damian's literally an assassin.
Yeah.
And the bat does not kill. So that's why I think the relationship works so well, too. And I think that's why it's so good, because they have such different ideologies. But Batman sees a young him in this kid, and he wants him to be great. And he thinks that he could, like, work past that stuff and be like a Robin. And so it's kind of interesting watching that happen in front of us.
Yeah.
And, like, that nice scene where they were in the jet riding away from the shit. Or they were riding to the shit. And he's like, Damian, did you really have to do it? Was life always like this? And he's like, yeah, dude, I was a trained killer. And Batman's like, it doesn't have to be that way, you know?
Right.
He's pretty much like, you know, you can be better. You don't have to kill. If you kill, it makes you one of them.
Right. I love it at the end of the movie where he's just like, all right, to the ship or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll drive. No. I know how. No.
It's a fun relationship. And there's going to be other movies in this to focus on that. Batman versus Robin is really good, and that's in this series. And Robin shows up a shit ton more, too. But that relationship is fun, and it was nice kind of starting to explore that in this one.
Yeah.
And now he's officially, you know, with Batman. Because Talia walked away. She kind of made the decision that it'd be better if Damian stayed with him.
Well, yeah, I mean, she wanted both of them to go with her.
Yeah, and then Batman's like, no.
It's a fun dichotomy, and that's the thing about, and that's what's going to be fun about, you know, getting into all these. And there's, like, so many to do, so obviously I think we'll be doing this for a while.
Yeah.
It's a fun, deal, and then after this is...
So, after this, we have Throne of Atlantis, and then we have Batman versus Robin. So, we will see more of this very soon. And then Batman, Bad Blood, then Justice League versus Teen Titans, then Justice League Dark, then the Teen Titans Judas Contract, then a Suicide Squad movie, Hell to Pay. Then we get the Death of Superman, the classic arc. We get Constantine, City of Demons. We get the Reign of Superman, which is like right after the death. Batman Hush, a Wonder Woman movie, and then the big finale, Justice League Dark Apocalypse.
All right, so how many movies are technically in this hole?
17 movies.
I mean, and that's going to be... So, yeah, so we'll be at this a while.
Yeah.
Which I'm really looking forward to, because, again, some of these... I mean, it's kind of a shame that, like, it's not really focused also on the other characters, but...
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a Green Lantern one, and you don't have, like, a Flash one, or Cyborg, or Shazam, but obviously, you know, they'll be...
Yeah, and that would be my only kind of critique of the series, is that they really, like, they know that Batman makes the money, and Superman and shit like that. So those are the... So I would have liked to see more solo movies on more of the
But the majority of them are going to be in these films,
But
right?
Yeah, they show up everywhere. This franchise has so many superheroes. And by the end, because, like, the end at Justice League Apocalypse War, they all get together for a battle, and it's, like, 100+. So there's a lot of fucking people. So, and like the Teen Titans movie and the Suicide Squad. So we get like teams and stuff. And you're not just going to be seeing Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman.
Right.
So it's going to be really cool to see new and different heroes. But I'm also excited to keep watching Batman and Robin's relationship form and stuff and see what Dick's going to do.
Right. I just want to see more Alfred.
You will. Alfred's the man. And he shows up in a good amount of these, I believe. Alfred. Gotta love Alfred.
Yeah.
I think I scrolled past him. That's all good. But yeah, he shows up in a good amount. Oh, 1, 2, 3. So he shows up in 5 of them. So you'll see Alfred a little bit more. But I'm excited to keep doing these. What would you give this rating out of 10 batarangs?
I would give it 9.
Really?
Yeah.
I give it a 9, too. I like Justice League War a little more because I liked all the characters.
Yeah.
But I do think this was a really good Batman movie. And it did a good job at exploring that relationship. It had a really good villain.
Right.
And it had a good story to it.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, yeah, we had, a lot of characters in there. But sometimes, you know, they say it all the time, less is more.
Yeah.
And we're going to, you know, kind of realize that, you know, when we kind of dive into... by the time this airs, we'll have already dived into it because this will drop on Saturday. But, you know, when we dived into, when we rebooked the WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And because that's one of the WrestleManias that had, like, the least amount of matches on it. They had to do an hour for Shawn and Bret. And it was, again, they had, like, a less is more mentality because they wanted the two guys to be featured.
Yeah.
Now,
you're gonna shit on that though.
Well,
Oh, no, I'm going to go a completely different route with that. But that was their – sometimes that's a mentality. Now it's not, or else the fucking thing wouldn't be 75 hours. But sometimes it does work out better to where less is more, and then you build on to the next story. Everybody doesn't have to be in every movie.
No. That's fine. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's nice to have some people here, some people there.
I mean, your main characters like your Supermans, your Batmans, and your Wonder Womans, yeah, they probably should be in
every... Yeah, you need the Trinity. You definitely need the Trinity.
But, like, you know, Flash and Green Lantern and Aquaman, they can tag out every once in a while.
Oh, absolutely. But it is nice seeing them, and I'm excited to see, for this next one, the introduction to Aquaman.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, because he wasn't in war.
No, so this is kind of his introduction to the league, so that's going to be fun. And with all that being said, this was a great time, Doug. We'll see everybody next week. Do we know what we're doing next week on...
I think next week it's Eric's pick. Pretty sure, Lord help us, he's going to be here. So I know he's going to be on the show.
Okay, so we'll see what he wants to do. And we'll see everybody next time. Have a good weekend.
All right, yeah. He'll let us know 5 minutes before we go on air Saturday.